The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas. Presented by U-Mobile.
Founded in China in 1985 and listed in the Hong Kong Stock Exchange in 2007, Vinda's goal is to be a leading hygiene company in Asia. I'm Brian Fernandez, and with me is Su Ting Ni, Southeast Asia Regional President of Vinda Group. She's here today to share the Vinda's growth story and how they're trying to compete with global giants such as Kimberly-Clark in Asia. Welcome to the Breakfast Grill, Su. The Vinda Group is not quite a household name. Give us a background of your company and what you do.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you very much for the introduction. As you have mentioned earlier on, Vinda is very much founded in 1985. Our business are in four areas. We are doing consumer tissues, the paper tissue, toilet papers and all that. And we are also in baby products, feminine care products, and also incontinence products. You probably don't know the company name as well, but I'm sure you know the brand names. We have Drypus, we have Libres, and we have Tena in this region. Recently, we just launched Vinda Tissue also in Malaysia.
So tell us, what is your value proposition in terms of, you know, why should we buy your products?
I think for us, our fundamental are delivering something that meets the consumer needs. We find the value equation between quality and price. As you know, in our region, value proposition is key when it comes to consumer choices in brands. So we take pride in making sure that our products deliver that. And the other component that we really put a lot of effort on as a group is the regulatory requirements in terms of product safety. So we have a very stringent process based on European standard where all the materials that we used in our products are qualified based on the European standards, just to secure that the safety to our end consumers at the end of the day.
Okay, let's zoom in on a very specific product category, diapers. Mm-hmm. Now, your brand is Drypus. Now, how do you compete against, say, Pampers or Mami Poco, which is supposed to be very comfortable for the kids, or generics?
We segment the category into different segments based on different consumer needs. For just to mention Unicharm, Mami Poco, they are very strong in comfort, like you have mentioned, but we play in another segment where they are competing. We are delivering the performance and comfort that we think that meets the target consumer group that we are targeting.
So how do you compete overall? Are you a Me Too competitor? Are you an innovator? Or are you a fast follower?
Well, that's a very good question. I would say that we take the balance between innovator and controllers. You know, we set the our ambition is to lead and shape the category in the segment where we compete. So we focus a lot on delivering other than the hygiene factor of the products. We look at overall aesthetic and also overall fit. That's the angle where we are playing on.
So you're a very unique group in the sense that you are a Chinese-Swedish group. Tell us more of how this relationship came about, Su.
I think we are different compared to some of the cases happened recently whereby it's Chinese acquire a Swedish company. In our case, for this business, we have been Swedish-owned 100% for the last 10 years. So recently, Essity, or previously known as SCA, decided that long-term strategically for Asian business to be run under one entity, which is a Hong Kong-listed company, Vinda. The integration started last year. It's a process that we are now going through, and I think the key here is that in terms of culture, we are very similar. I heard sometime somebody told me before, Swedish is a European Asian.
Really? So what are the similarities?
Similarity in terms of the way they approach business, similarity in terms of the way the human factor of a Swedish and a Chinese, you know, there's very strong value systems, from what I see in the entity that we've been part of. And I think I'm still learning despite many years with the company to see whether there are more similarities in other areas or not. Very fundamentally, our core values are all very similar, exactly the same. You respect, you drive for excellence, and you take responsibility of what you do.
Well, obviously, this relationship is working because your financial numbers are very, very impressive. Now, to take your global numbers, 2013, your sales were something in the region of $870 million. But in 2016, your sales reached over $1.5 billion, so almost doubled. What are the key reasons for your growth in the last few years?
The growth comes from two areas. One of them is within China. The result has been fantastic. The tissue business continued to grow, and we have now also expanded into hygiene business, which is baby diaper, feminine care products, and incontinence product. Whereas on the other side, the growth are coming from new markets, and we are in this part of the world where the new markets are also entering into the tissue business that Vinda is very strong at.
Now, when you talk about growth areas, most people are not familiar with incontinence markets and also the tissue business. Can you just elaborate a little bit on where do you see the opportunities?
Incontinence care, it maybe put it in a simpler terms, is adult diapers. So as you know, that across the region, there's an increasing population that is older than 65. And it's a life stage that all of us go through. So we do see an increase in the need of giving this type of products for the elderly. So that's incontinence care. Tissue here, I'm specifically referred to toilet tissues, facial tissues, or hanky tissues. So that's the tissue products.
Coming back to your financial numbers again, impressive growth figures, but you are suffering from margin compression. So your net profits were $69 million in 2013, but in 2016, they were $88 million. Essentially, your net operating margin is dropping from something in the region of 8% to 5.3%. What were the reasons for that?
One key component is, I think, the foreign exchange has been one of the key components. As we all know that the dynamics of different currencies, especially the ringgit performance, has a huge impact into how our cost is escalating. You know, 70% of our raw materials are imported, and even the local material that we are buying, their base material are also imported. So we are hit in that sense when you're importing from material that is you're paying in US dollar. So I think that's a big component here. And across all the elements in terms of logistics and, you know, energies and all that, we also see an escalating in costs. So that's the one that's really impacting us overall when it comes to profit press.
What are your competitive advantages in terms of cost over your competitors? Because after all, you are owned by a paper and pulp manufacturer.
When it comes to scale, we have advantages there because we buy in volume. We buy in volume, so that helps us in negotiation. I think aside from that, all of us are experiencing the similar challenges. And probably the other thing that I think my team has been doing great is also keeping the cost control. So there is an ongoing program where we constantly look at different ways to drive supply chain efficiency. And I think our competitors are also very credible, so I'm sure they also have their competitive edge.
Sue, companies like yourselves are terrible for the environment because everything you produce is thrown away. Diapers in landfills emit methane, which is 20 times more potent than carbon dioxide. And diapers take 200 to 500 years to decompose. What are you doing to reduce your environmental footprint?
Well, that's really a very good question. And I think internally, it's an area that we've been discussing, and there's a lot of initiatives has been put in place in addressing this issue. There are basically 4 to 5 key areas that we are working on. One of them is basically whenever we cut a tree, there's a company requirements that we plant 3 back. So that's one initiative happening ongoing for many, many years now. The other area that we are working on in the more longer term and area is on the biodegradable material. You know, one thing that we can contribute is how we can make this material that we are using much more biodegradable moving forward.
Yeah, and I don't understand this. It's a shocking number that you, it takes 200 years to biodegrade. Mm. Why is that? I mean, why couldn't we get it down to, say, 10 years or something like that? We've done that with some other plastic products or paper products or something, especially now with these biodegradable plastic bags. Mm. So why is the case? What have been the challenges are you aware of?
The challenges has been the cost behind the material. So, but we also believe that that shouldn't be the barrier. So we, whenever possible, we will use the most biodegradable products in our, in the products. It's not, I think it's easier to be said than done, honestly. But I am happy that as a group, we are constantly looking at different venues to do this and work with suppliers who has the expertise in developing material like such so that we can use it, and at the end of the day, it helps the environment.
Yeah, and what other areas did you say that you're working on as a company to improve your environmental footprint?
The other one that we put a lot of focus in is on the manufacturing side. As you know, it's not only the material we use, but it's also the entire process coming from making papers or also to producing of baby diaper and etc. We have carbon footprint KPIs for all the facilities. We have recycling KPIs for all the facilities. And these are the things that all the facilities has to deliver and work on. And I think the other point probably it's good to highlight is that we have, as a company, obtained sustainable award before, and it is an area that we continue to work on.
I'm speaking to Su Ting Ni, Southeast Asia Regional President of the hygiene company Vinda Group. In just a bit, we'll be talking to Su about Vinda's regional expansion plans. Stay with us on BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
I'm Brian Fernandez, and I'm with Su Ting Ni, Southeast Asia Regional President for Vinda Group. Su, what are your key markets in the Southeast Asian region?
Today, our strongest presence is in Malaysia and Singapore and Brunei. Aside from that, we are also in Philippines, Indonesia, Cambodia, Vietnam and Thailand. And those areas, our presence are weaker than this region.
What percentage of your business is actually in Malaysia?
Malaysia today contribute to 60% of our total business in Southeast Asia, and followed by other 40% comes from all other regions.
And Malaysia is also the regional hub, am I correct?
Yes, it is.
So how many people do you employ here?
In Malaysia, we have about 1,400 people based in Malaysia supporting the region.
And this includes two factories that you have here, I believe?
Yes, yes.
Okay, and what sort of R&D do you do in Southeast Asia?
Yes, we have an R&D center in Malaysia, based in Malaysia, Shah Alam. This is a setup supporting the Vinda South Asia Group, not only Southeast Asia. Our focus is a lot on baby products, development in raw material together with the supplier, as well as technical and process innovation for the machines.
Now, where in Southeast Asia do you lead Procter & Gamble or Kimberly-Clark?
These are two very credible competitors that we have globally instead, not only in Southeast Asia. We are proud to say that in Malaysia, we are leading number one in baby products. Drypers is number one in Malaysia. Libres is number two in Malaysia. Tena is also number one in Malaysia.
What categories are those, Tena and Libres?
I'm sorry. Libres is feminine care category. Mm-hmm. Tena is incontinence care category. In Singapore, our baby products is number three. And our Tena brand incontinence care is also number one.
What are the key drivers for growth now moving forward for you? Where is that coming from?
It's a mix of different things because of the development of our development in different regions, especially in Malaysia. The growth is coming from new categories. We just launched Vinda Tissue 2 months ago. Whereas in Singapore, likewise, the growth is coming from new category. Aside from that, other market is basically building up the market for the three categories that we are in.
So are you a leader in Singapore in terms of tissue paper?
We are not. We just launched as well. So we are very small.
I see. One of the interesting things about Singaporeans is how they use tissue paper to book seats to sit on. So I'm sure that you should be able to do some sort of marketing around that area.
Yes, yes, yes.
Now, so where do you see your key drivers from growth coming from? Is it demographics? Is it rising incomes? Or is it increased awareness of your products?
Well, actually, they are all of them are the growth drivers in different markets that we are in. Different elements of those help us to drive growth. In Malaysia specifically, for the incontinence category, is the increase in the need for the products, the aging population that helps the growth in the category. For baby category is also the new babies that are coming in. It's quite a developed category at the moment, so it's more fueling coming from the head counts. Whereas for feminine, it's the awareness of the brand. This is a brand that we've been building in the last 6 years. In other parts of the world, because we are very new, so it's a lot on the awareness of the brand in the markets that's going to help us to grow. And of course, the rising income group will also help us to make it more affordable in the other parts of the market.
So you've been with the company since 1999. You've seen a lot of changes, particularly in distribution. Traditionally, you would sell through hypermarkets and retail stores and so forth. But e-commerce has taken a big step forward in Southeast Asia. Now, being a China-based company, with all that experience in e-commerce, what are you doing in Southeast Asia now in this space?
This is a growing channel across the region, and we saw it a lot prominent in China, as you said. And I have to also highlight that we have a strong expertise in the Vinda China teams, where we take learning in how to grow in this channel. In Southeast Asia, we have chosen specific partners in online that we work with.
Who are they?
People like Lazada. Mm. We work with them across the region. In some markets, we are trying to step up in what we can do in that channel to reach out to the consumer. I think one key thing internally is the mindset of the team, where online is a channel that is going to grow moving forward, and we need to continue to focus in that area as well.
Now, Sue, what percentage of your business is now through e-commerce?
So today, within Vinda Group, the total e-channel business contribute close to 30 to 40%, and they vary across the region. In Southeast Asia, it's smaller part, but we are growing quite rapidly.
That's a very sizable number, Sue, 30 to 40%. What are the strategies that you took to get to this level?
If I speak on behalf of the Chinese team, I think it was the first mover strategy. So the decision was, okay, we will start to drive this channel. So I think that has bring a lot of success in our Chinese business. And there's also a lot of understanding of the consumers, where from the understanding of the consumer, then you know how to reach them via this channel. And we use this as a platform for also communication, to talk about the brand benefits and etc., to help create that connection with the consumers, so to help the growth in this channel.
Now, in Southeast Asia, it's probably a little bit more complex than in China, because we have so many different ethnicities, yeah, nationalities within the region itself. What sort of specific strategies are you doing, for example, in Malaysia, which are different from Indonesia?
As you have said, you know, they are different. So our strategy is always starting from the consumers. So based on the different segment or target consumer that we are targeting in, for example, Malaysia and Indonesia, for example, then we deployed our strategy in communication that is connected with them, and also the promotional strategy that are different across the region to reach out to them better.
So there's no doubt that women in the corporate sector have faced the glass ceiling. Tell us how you were able to break through it.
Oh, Brian, that's a very big question. I think I'm very fortunate that along my journey with this company, I work with managers that's very much focusing on my strength. And, you know, all of us have areas to improve, and they don't judge me by my weakness. They encourage me. So I think that has really helped me in my journey and my confidence level.
What have you done to bring diversity into your organization?
It is always a challenge when you look at diversity. You know, we put in extra effort to make sure we have a good balance of women and men. also a good balance of the younger generation and the more mature like us generation in the company. I don't think we are perfect yet, but I think they're still learning that we are taking now to drive better diversity, because we are a company that also has Swedish root, so we do have a mixture of different nationalities in the organization as well. So that helps bring a different perspective into the business.
Thanks, Sue. It was a pleasure having you on The Breakfast Grill. That was Sue Ting Nee, Southeast Asia Regional President of Vinda Group. And you're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile, where data hearts you.